There's a saying that ceremonies for the dead are more for the living than they are for the dead. But that's not really true. They're for both. We make merit, do good things, dedicated to those who passed away. And if they know of what we've done and approve of it, that becomes their happiness. That becomes their merit. Both sides benefit. You benefit from doing good and from the merit that comes from being willing to dedicate merit to others, being willing to share your goodness. They benefit from their approval. In fact, this is a principle that runs throughout the Buddhist teachings, that true goodness, true happiness, doesn't have to have boundaries. It's not a case of one side gaining and the other side having to lose. There are ways of creating happiness that allow for both sides to gain. You make merit through generosity, you make merit through virtue, extending thoughts, goodwill. There's no boundary on that goodness. If we were to live in a world where you gain and someone else has to lose, or their gain means your loss, that wouldn't be a human world. Of course, there are people who think like that, but they're not really on the human level. What makes you human is when you realize that goodness can be shared. And genuine goodness, genuine happiness, means that you have to take the happiness of others into consideration. So gratitude is a good thing. Our gratitude for those who passed away, we think of the goodness they've done. We want to repair that. We want to repay that goodness. You can do that in two ways. One is being good to them, as when we're dedicating merit to them. And then wanting to have that goodness last in this world. You think of the good things they've done. You don't want it to stop with them. You want to have it passed on. And what's the best way to pass it on? Well, is to do good yourself. This is the other benefit from ceremonies for people who passed away. It makes you heedful. There are Dharma textbooks for lay people in Thailand dealing with the ceremonies that go along with Buddhism. And they divide the ceremonies into two types. Those are auspicious and those are dealing with inauspicious events. The inauspicious events are supposed to be the ones dealing with death. But that's not a Buddhist principle. It's more a Brahmanical principle. The Brahmanical principle is you go to a funeral and there's something defiling about it. You have to protect yourself with chants. You have to protect yourself with chanting water. But the Buddhist attitude toward death is that when you think about death, it should be something that makes you heedful. And that's auspicious. Heedfulness with regard to qualities of the mind. That's one of the highest blessings. So when you learn of someone's death, you realize, okay, you're going to go someday too. What are you going to take with you? There are people in Thailand who say, I don't need to make merit while I'm alive. I'll wait until I die. Let my children make merit for me. How can you depend on other people to make merit for you? People die in war. People die in huge numbers sometimes. So many that it's hard to keep track of everybody's died. Sometimes the people you depend on to make merit for you go before you do. So what work do you need to do with the qualities of your mind? We meditate, develop thoughts of goodwill, develop mindfulness, concentration, discernment, because we know that we will need these qualities wherever we go, wherever we stay. We don't know how we're going to die or when we're going to die. But we do know that we will need these qualities. This is the best way to prepare. The Chans keep saying that when you meditate, you're preparing to die. Because the mind will be all over the place. It hasn't been trained. one of mine is all over the place like that. You can't trust where it's going to take you. But here we keep practicing, bringing the mind back, bringing the mind back. Sometimes it seems tedious, but then think of samsara, it's a lot more tedious. To keep coming back again and again and again. There's that story in the canon of the time the Buddha was on an alms round. He happened to pass in front of the home of a Brahmin who had some food, so he gave food to the Buddha. The next day the Buddha went past the house again. The Brahmin gave him food again. The third day the Buddha came past, and the Brahmin complained, "What is this? Again and again, you keep coming back." The Buddha's response was, "Again and again, they plant the rice, again and again, they harvest the crop, again and again, they die and are reborn. That's a lot more tedious." So develop the skills that you need to get out of that tedium. And don't be bored by them. Don't be the sort of person who says, "Well, this is tedious, I'm just going to give up." The work needs to be done. And if you don't do it, who's going to do it for you? And if you don't do it now, when will you do it? So think in these ways, realizing that you have no idea how much time you have, but you do know you have right now. And you do know that there's work to be done. Notice what that phrase says, heedful with regard to mental qualities. You have to be heedful about what you're allowing to take over your mind, what thoughts you dwell on, what thoughts you keep returning to. Thoughts of sensuality, thoughts of lust, thoughts of anger, thoughts of jealousy. These are not your friends. They may be familiar, they may be your old habits, but that's no excuse for going for them. You've learned the Dharma of the Buddha, that these things lead you to places you don't want to go. And you just still keep going back to them. What's the problem? Do you want to live in a world where there is no Dharma? I mean, that happens a lot. In the Buddhist cosmology, they talk about aeons that go past when there's no Buddha at all. And even in aeons like ours, where there's more than one, there are these long periods in between where the Dharma is not known. People have no guidance, no clear guidance, no sure guidance as to what's right and what's wrong. And then we put ourselves into worlds like that when we just block out the Buddhist teachings to pursue whatever we want, knowing full well that it's not skillful, but going for it anyhow. This is why the Buddha said, heedfulness lies at the base of all that is skillful. You realize you've got to do it now, or else it's not going to get done. So thinking in these ways is an auspicious thing. It's a blessing. Helps get you on the right track and keep you on the right track. And we know this because of the goodness of people who have gone before us. We live in an aeon, as I said, where we have a Buddha, and his teachings are still alive right now. The best way to show our gratitude toward him is to put the teachings into practice. As he said, practice the Dharma in accordance with the Dharma. Which means two things. One, don't change his teachings for what they are. Don't change them in line with your preferences. Learn to adjust your preferences so they're in line with the Dharma he taught. And two, practice for the sake of disenchantment. The unskillful thoughts you find in chanting for so long. Learn to develop a distaste for them. That's what disenchantment means. You've been feeding on them, and you get tired of them for a while, and then you go back and feed on them again. And the Buddha's saying, can you get to the point where you've had enough? Because you realize that the effort that goes into these things is not repaid in any satisfactory way. He's trying to raise your sights. When he talks about contentment, he's not talking about contentment with the state of your mind. Contentment means being content with material things around you. If it's good enough for practice, it's good enough. But you have to have some discontent with where you are in the practice. Happy with whatever progress you've made, but not satisfied. So in that way, the Buddha's teaching dissatisfaction. for the sake of heedfulness, for the sake of what's skillful. So on any occasion we stop and think about these things, that's an auspicious occasion. And when we do good in line with this line of thinking, then we can dedicate it to others and maintain that principle that the goodness we do doesn't stop with us. It doesn't have any clear boundaries. We can guarantee that other people may not be really up to the human level yet, but we can be on the human level. And it's a good place to be, because it's on this level that you can begin to go to even higher levels. We have the teachings of the Buddha. When he came to awaken, he didn't just keep it to himself. He shared all of his knowledge that was useful with others. So we are beneficiaries of his goodness. So we should show our gratitude. Show our gratitude to all who have been good to us. It's interesting that the word for gratitude in Pali, katanyu, means knowledge for what is done. It's not just an appreciation of how good things are around you. It's a specific kind of appreciation for those who have done good things. They had to go out of their way to do good things that have benefited you. They could have chosen not to do that, but they made the effort. They saw that it was worthwhile. So one way of repaying them is to show that they were right. It was worth their while to help you, because the help was not going to stop with you. The goodness wasn't going to stop with you. You're going to pass it on.